Yeah, the lighters are there. Yeah, there's a candle here. Then the incense. Oh, got four. Five, ah. Oh, two more person. The lighter. Got one more candle. One more candle. Yeah, he just 点着。他拿去给他。他的吗？
sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, thank you. You can be seated. And we can get ready for puja. Let us compose our mind. Develop the faith, sadhā, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Quan Sư Yên Phú Sa. Namo Quan Sư Yên Phú Sa. Namo Quan Sư Yên Phú Sa. Namo Mi Lo Phật. Namo Mi Lo Phật. Namo Mi Lo Phật. Namo Phổ Phú Sa. Namo Phổ Phú Sa. Namo Phổ Phú Sa. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can visit that. Then turn to page 1 of the chapter book. We shall commence the vandana. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majjhapamadatthana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Patipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambara yutena dupena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana muthamang Vanna ganda guno petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarolohe pujemi betang kasumenanena punena matena cha tumokhang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasabhavang adivase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatumutamang. Now we will chant the aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making our overall aspiration, by the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculty of sada, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect. Triple Gem. Betang pujemi Dhammang pujemi Sanghang pujemi. Okay, you can be seated. Then we will off the light for meditation. You can have half an hour of silent meditation. Okay. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Then turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. Invocations to the deva. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sage, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakavalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhamman Munirajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadam Dhamma savanan kalo ayam badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayam badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayam badanta. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Iti peso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho vijacarana sampanno sukato lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manosanam Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipasiko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditabho No hiti supatipanno bhagavato sa sango ujupatipanno bhagavato sauka sango nyaya patipanno bhagavato sauka sango Samichi patipanno bhagavato savaka sango yadidam chatari purisa yukani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato savaka sango Ahuneyo, pahuneyo, dakeneyo, anjali karaniyo, anutarang punyang ketang lokasati. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Pajama. Badang Pajami. Damang Pajami. sang hang pu je me. Okay. You can be seated. Then we will have our second session. Second session is reporting of meditation, followed by whatever question you have. So we will open up for reporting of meditation. If you got any question, you can also ask after that. Whatever question regarding the meditation, the teaching, and how to apply what we have learned. So that we can make use of this teaching to help us understand life and bring forth the condition for wisdom to arise. Okay. You just have to raise your hand if you want to report meditation or ask any question. Anybody? Nobody. You have to try to report your meditation, otherwise you won't learn. Unless you report exactly how you develop your meditation, then you can at least find out whether you have done it correctly or whether you have done it rightly or not. Anybody? Okay, you don't have, then maybe turn to the sheet in front of you. I think there is this Charya Pitaka. This is a sutta that is related to the Buddha's past life, and also it is included some of the Buddhas that he has met. There were a total of 24 Buddhas before him that predicted his enlightenment and predicted his enlightenment and the Sammasambuddhahood. Then there are three more before the 24, so total 27. Then there's one future Buddha, the next one, Maitreya, so total 28. So sometimes you will find in the Theravada Sutta there is this chanting on the 28 Buddhas. It comes about from this. 24 plus 3, then plus 1. Okay, first page. This Charya Pitaka. Charya Pitaka, where Charya is a Pali word for conduct or proper conduct, and Pitaka is usually translated as the basket of teaching. That's why under the Buddhist teaching, we have what we call the recorded Tipitaka. Tipitaka is the whole record of the Buddha's teaching. So there are three Pitaka under this Tipitaka. The first one is called the Vinaya Pitaka. Vinaya is about the monk's rules, everything that is related to the precepts. Then we have the Sutta Pitaka, or the discourse of the Buddha. They are recorded under the suttas. Suttas are called discourse of Buddha. Then the last one is the Abhidhamma Pitaka. Okay, I will read on. So this is from the Buddhist scripture, part of the Pali Canon or of the Theravada tradition. It is included there in the Sutta Pitaka. Sutta Pitaka is the second basket. So within the Sutta Pitaka, there are a lot of Nikayas. Nikayas are all the discourse. So they got the Digha Nikaya, which is the long discourse. Then the middle length, Majjhima, I think it's called Majjhima Nikaya. Then you got the short discourse, the Sanyutta Nikaya. Then they got the other minor Nikayas. So one of the minor Nikayas are this Kudaka Nikaya. Usually, as the last of 15 books, it is a short verse work that includes 35 accounts of the Buddha's former life, similar to the Jataka stories or Jataka tales, when he, as a bodhisattva, exhibit behavior known as perfections. Prerequisites to Buddhahood. So this perfection, there are 10. You want to develop the perfection to be a Sammasambuddha, you have to complete the training, the cultivation of the 10 perfection. Then after that, we have this canonical text along with the Apadana and the Buddha Vamsa. This is believed to be a late addition to the Pali Canon, and it has been described as the hagiographical. In the first story, chapter 1, the Buddha says he will illustrate his practice of the perfection, which is also called paramita in Pali, by story of his past life in this current age. The text contains 35 such stories spanning 365 to 371 verses. The body of the Chariya Pitaka is broken into three divisions called Vaga, with title correlated to the first three of the 10 Theravada, 10 perfections or paritas. Division 1 is on Dana Paramita, or Dana Perfection, which is generosity. There are 10 stories for the perfection of offering or generosity. Then Division 2 is Sila Perfection of Sila, or Sila Paramita. There are 40 stories of the perfection of Sila, which is morality or conduct. Then Division 3 is Nikama Paramita. There are 15 stories distributed among 5 other perfections as follows. So Nikama is renunciation. Is the perfection of renunciation. There are 5 Jataka stories. Then the next perfection is Adhitana, or affirmation, determination, or resolution, or they call Adhitan, or very strong affirmation of whatever. So this one has 1 story. Then the next perfection is Satya, or truth. This one got 6 Jataka story. Then we have Metta, or loving kindness perfection. This one got 2 Jataka stories. Then the last perfection is equanimity or upeka. This one got 1 Jataka story. The 3 remaining Theravada perfection, which is panya, wisdom, or understanding. Then the next one is virya, or spiritual zeal. Then finally, there is this 3rd and last one, which is perfection of patience, or in Pali is called Kanti. They are all mentioned in the closing stanza, but no related Chariya Pitaka story has come down to us. Then Horner suggests that these later 3 perfections are implicit in the collection, referenced in both story titles and context. Then we have the translation. So these are the translation. The collection of the way of conduct in minor anthologies of the Pali Canon, volume 3, first edition. Then we have the basket of conduct in minor anthology, also volume 3, along with the Chronicles of the Buddha. This one, the Buddha Vamsa, the Chronicle of the Buddha, is the one that describes all these 24 and 28 Buddhas before Sakyamuni. Then the 10 perfection of paramita, they are listed down there. Dana, Sila, Nikama, Panya, Virya, Kanti, Satya, Aditana, Metta, and Upeka. Whereas the 6 perfection that the Mahayana undertake, they are listed as Dana, Sila, Kanti, Virya. So this first 4 is the same. Then the 5th one, Dana, this one is, I think it's a Sanskrit word. So this one is a different cultivation. Then finally, number 6 is wisdom or prajna. So wisdom or prajna is still part of the 10 perfection up there. The only difference is they got this what they call dhyana. This one, if I'm not wrong, is similar to the enlightenment factor of samadhi. So there is a slight difference there. Okay, then I go into the Buddha Vamsa. The Buddha Vamsa, also known as the Chronicle of the Buddha, is a hagiographic Buddhist text which describes the life of Gautama Buddha and of the 24 previous Buddha. This is the one. The previous 24 Buddha before him, who had prophesied his attainment of Buddhahood. It is the 14th book of the Kudaka Nikaya, which in turn is the 5th and the last division of the Sutta Pitaka. The Sutta Pitaka is one of the 3 Pitaka of the Tipitaka, or main section, which together constitute the Tipitaka, or the Pali Canon, of the Theravada tradition, or sect, along with the Apadana and the Charya Pitaka. The Buddha Vamsa is considered by most scholars to have been written during the 1st and 2nd century. This one must be AD, and is therefore a late addition to the Pali Canon. Turn the next page. The first chapter tells how Gautama Buddha, to demonstrate his supernormal knowledge, creates a jewel walkway in the sky. In seeing this display, Sariputta asked the Buddha, "Of what kind, great hero, supreme among men, was your resolve? At what time, wise one, was supreme awakening aspired to by you? Of what kind, wise one, leader of the world, were your 10 perfections? How were the higher perfections fulfilled? How the ultimate perfections?" In response, the Buddha relays the remainder of the Buddha Vamsa. So this is how all the Jataka story comes about, and how he did the perfection and all those things. In the 2nd chapter, Gautama Buddha tells how in a distant past life, as Sumedha, he received a prediction from the then Dipankara Buddha, and in the next era, you will become, the prediction is, in the next era, you will become a Sammasambuddha named Sakyamuni, and taught out the 10 perfection he would need to cultivate. Then chapter 3 to 26, I count the 24 historical Buddha who preceded Gautama Buddha, and the acts of merits that Gautama Buddha performed towards them in his previous life. So he actually met a lot of Sama Sambuddha. But these are the last 24 that Sakyamuni met, because they predicted his enlightenment. So for every Sama Sambuddha to arise, they must have met a lot of Sama Sambuddha along the way. Otherwise it's not easy. Then chapter 27 is an account of the life of Gautama Buddha. Chapter 28 mentioned three Buddhas that preceded Dipankara. So these are the three that didn't predict him, but they are before Dipankara Buddha, as well as the future Buddha Maitreya. So 3 plus 1 plus 24, you got the 28 Buddhas. Then chapter 29 tells us of the distribution of the Buddha's relic after his death. Then chronicle of 24 Buddhas. This one you can see listed all the Sama Sambuddha's name from 1 to 24, starting with Dipankara Buddha. Then Kondanya, Mangala, Sumana, Revata, Sobita, Anumadasi, Paduma, Narada, Pudu Mutara, then Sumedha, Sujata, Piyadasi, Attadasi, then there is this Dhammadasi, then Siddhata, Tisa, Pusa, Vipassi, Sikki, and Visapu. So these are the 21 Buddha earlier on. Then there are three more. Buddha Kakusanda, Buddha Konaganmana, and Buddha Kasapa. So total 24. But you look at 22, 23, 24, they didn't bold the Buddha's name, because this is the new kappa, the new world cycle. The other 21, they are the Buddhas that arise during the last world cycle. Then, if I read on, you will understand. In countries where Theravada Buddhism is cultivated or practiced by the majority of people, such as Sri Lanka, Cambodia, Laos, Burma, Thailand, it is customary for Buddhists to hold elaborate festivals, especially during the fair season or fair weather season, paying homage to the 28 Buddhas described in the Buddha Vamsa. The Buddha Vamsa is a text which describes the life of Gautama Buddha and the 27 Buddha who preceded him. But the Buddha Vamsa is part of the Kudaka Nikaya, which in turn is part of the Sutta Pitaka. The Sutta Pitaka is one of the three main sections of the Pali Canon, or the Tipitaka of the Theravada tradition. The first three of this Buddha, Tanhankara, Madankara, and Saranankara, lived before the time of Dipankara Buddha, means they arise before Dipankara Buddha. The fourth Buddha, Dipankara Buddha, is especially important as he was the Buddha who gave the Vivarana prediction of future Buddhahood to Sakyamuni. He was the first Sammasambuddha who gave that prediction. That time Sakyamuni Buddha was just a Tibetan Bomo youth who would in the distant future become the Bodhisattva Gautama Buddha. After Dipankara, 23 more noble beings or Arya Pugala would attain perfect enlightenment before Gautama, the historical Buddha. Many Buddhists also pay homage to the future Buddha, which is the 28 Buddha, Maitreya. According to Buddhist scripture, Maitreya will be the successor of Gautama, who will appear on earth, achieve complete enlightenment, and teach the pure Dhamma. The prophecy of the arrival of Maitreya is founded in the canonical canonical literature of all Buddhist texts of all the three traditions, Theravada, Mahayana, and Vajrayana, and is accepted by most Buddhists as a statement about an event that will take place when the Dhamma will have been forgotten on Jambuvapi. Jambuvapi is our this present world system. Then the seven Buddhas of antiquity, this one is just for understanding. According to Mahayana tradition, each kappa means one world cycle, which is a very long period, has 1,000 Sammasambuddhas. The previous kappa was the Uha Kappa, or they call it the glorious aeons. Means is full of glory. And the present kappa is called the Bhadra Kappa, auspicious kappa. So equally beautiful. The seven Buddhas of the antiquity means Sata Tathagata are the seven Buddha which bridge the Viha Kappa and the Bhadra Kappa. So Buddha Vipassi is the 998 Buddha of the Viha Kappa. Then Buddha Sikhi is the 999 Sammasambuddha of this Viha Kappa. Then the last one is Buddha Visabu, the 1,000 and final Buddha of the Viha Kappa. That kappa means that world cycle. Then after that, we have the first Buddha of the new cycle, or we call it our this present Bhadra Kappa, the auspicious kappa or aeons. So he is the first Buddha of the Bhadra Kappa. Then Konagamana, the second Buddha of the Bhadra Kappa. Then Kāsapa Buddha is the third Buddha of the Bhadra Kappa. Then our Buddha Gautama, or Sakyamuni Buddha, he is the fourth and present Buddha of the Bhadra Kappa. So if you were to look at this description of the history of our this world system, we are now entering the next kappa. So our world system actually is very young. We just started. And we just completed the four Sammasambuddha. There are still 996 to go. That's why it's a long time. It's a very, very long time. So if you were to go by percentage, 4 out of 1,000, you have to multiply by 250 times. Our present world system is about, I think the scientists, the furthest they can date back is about 16 billion years. Then our planet Earth is about, I don't know whether 8 or 10 billion years. Our planet Earth is very, very old. And this is only 0.4%, understand? 0.4% this length. So you times by 250. So 250 times, let's say 10 billion years. So it's 2,500 billion years. That is supposed to be the lifespan of one kappa. Do you know how long is that? 1 billion years is 90. So 2,500 billion years. Actually, 1 billion years is very, very long, you know. Our civilization, the recorded one, you know how long? It's about 5,000 over years. our present civilization recorded 5,000 over years. So this is not even 10,000. No. Then after 10,000, you got the next zero, 100,000 years. After the 100,000 year, you got 1 million. Then 10 million. 100 million. Then only another zero, you hit 1 billion. No. That is how long it is. So, when it comes to duration of existence, our lifespan on this planet is really, really very small, very minute, or insignificant in comparison to the existence of the universe. Even at the moment, let's say planet Earth, 10 billion years, like very long, very long. But this 10 billion years is to the kappa is still not that long. It's only 0.4%. 0.4%. You have to multiply it by 2,500. This is assuming all the Samasambuddha come in interval of approximately those time. So 4 Samasambuddha already took about we are assuming planet Earth, which is about 8 to 10 billion years. But the actual life or actual duration of this world system could be longer. Where scientists can actually, the furthest they can look at the moment is about 16 billion years. Because you travel at the speed of light, it can go back to 16 billion light years. So that is the extent of the universe. But maybe there are still more, we don't know. So, based on scientific understanding that the scientist has probed, the universe is really immense. It's still expanding at the moment. There is no end to it. That's why there is no known boundary. Because it's still expanding. And you cannot imagine how expansive this universe is. You travel by the speed of light, 16 billion years traveling at the speed of light, you still cannot reach the frontier. And the speed of light is 168 miles per second. 1 second, you can travel 168,000 miles. Right? Become big one already. Oh, you're already lucky. Wow, only the Dhamma can come out. So this one is the middle path, like my house. Not too big. So you look at the speed of light. Speed of light. Is equal 168,000 miles per second. I think later on, stack some paper at the back. Otherwise, this sound is there. There's a mislead there. We put that paper there at the back. Then no more sound. You got any thick paper or not? Thick paper. Yeah. You don't have nail mine. I think next round. Oh, bring the chanting book. Bring three chanting book. Get 3 copies of the chanting book. I know. Yeah, come. Just slot it in. No need. You put one more. Ang Pao. You go and put over there. Enough. Can I? Maybe fold it. Okay, got it. So all these are called understanding. When you understand, huh, then you can get it right. So this is part of understanding. Hmm. 1 second, you can travel so far. So let's say 1 minute times 60. This is just 1 minute, no? Yeah? Then after that, you have to times 24 hours. This is per day. Per day. This is per hour. Yeah. Then after that, 1 year times 365 per year. So this is to let you understand how far it is. Then after that, yeah, let's say we go faster. Yeah? 1 billion year. 1 billion year is times 1 billion, 90. This one is after 1 billion year. Yeah? Then 16 billion year times 16. Yeah. You multiply out, you see how many miles. Then only you can apparently reach the frontier where the scientists can observe through their Hubble telescope. Yeah. Beyond that, you still don't know. Yeah. So just imagine, yeah, this 1 billion figure is so big, you know, then some more times so many zero. You know. So you add together to this number, this is 116,000 billion miles times this, and this. So it's, I think, don't know how many billion miles. And it's really, really far. So roughly you can understand. Even the distance between the sun and the planet Earth is already so far. How many of you can recall how far is our planet Earth from the sun? Roughly, average. Huh? If I am not wrong, based on my whatever understanding, I remember this figure sound very familiar, 90 million miles. Million miles. Yeah. And you know, 1 mile is 5,280 feet. So 5,000 over, yeah, feet. 92 million miles. Miles. So that is really, really quite a distance. But that is only our solar system, not our planet, third planet from the sun. No? So you were to cultivate and calculate until the galaxy, our whole of this Milky Way. Do you know how many star systems are there? No? Billions of star systems within our galaxy. That's why it's very immense. Very, very immense. And our galaxy, our Milky Way, is very small compared to the rest of the galaxy, the universe and all those things. That's why when you talk about the universe, it is a completely mind-boggling understanding. Unless you are the Samasambuddha, it's not easy. Even the scientists need to probe very far. But we were lucky. That's why our kappa is called the auspicious kappa. You know what is auspicious? Yeah? Very auspicious means very special one. Hou yao fok hei one. That's why the Mangala Sutta is called auspicious blessing at the back. Very auspicious. Like 2 days back, Kuan Yin birthday is also a very auspicious day. Means is a very, very lucky or blessed day, very auspicious, very special, very meaningful. So our this kappa is an auspicious kappa. So I believe this world system will turn out to be beautiful. Yeah. So hopefully going forward, another 2,000 or so years of beautiful sasana. Even if it stopped at 4,005, we still got 1,009 years. Yeah. But 1,009 years may not be too long, but for it to flourish, it can be long enough. Because going forward, our planet, it will become very different. The last 30, 40 years, our advancement in every field has become exponential. You look at our history, the recorded history of 5,000 over years of recorded history. Actually, over the last 5,000 over years, we didn't progress. We were still very primitive. Even until the year 1960, 6 years after I was born, I can still remember at that time, things were very, very primitive, very backward. No pipe water, well water. Then you have a lot of these rural houses. And the houses were all made of timber, mostly, hardly any brick. You can afford brick work building. You are considered quite wealthy or quite rich. Otherwise, you stay in what they call temporary shelters. They call it timber houses or attached roof type of houses. Then when I went to school, I remember 1960 I went to school. My primary school education was just still equally backward. But we were lucky because the British got a very good education system. So we studied their syllabus and we learned good things, their language, their culture, everything. Then after that, I remember during the 70s, there is some progress. I came to university. Then after I graduate, 1980 onward, 80, 90, 2000, then 2001, 40, 50 years, maybe the last 40 to 50 years, we progressed so fast. And you look at the way science and technology has transformed our society, then our education understanding in the field of astronomy, in the field of artificial intelligence, internet boom, or what they call. Our civilization went through a few phases of development for it to reach what it is today. We started off with primitive life form, then we were never threatened with anything until, I think, the beginning of the 19th century, before the 20th century. During 1900 onward, we have this First World War, 1911 or what, around that time. Then over the last 100 years, we actually progressed very fast, we transformed very fast. So during that time, they were talking about food problem, you remember? They scared too much population. Our planet Earth cannot cope. Then there is this food problem. Then human mind, very intelligent, we solve it by going into the agriculture boom, remember? Agricultural revolution, they call it a revolution. Suddenly you realize there is enough food to go around because they can produce a lot using technology and all those things. No need everything also human labor to plant. If you plant yourself, not enough to eat. But if you cultivate, like plantation owner who go and plant all this through mechanization and all those things, then you develop plantation, then you can harvest them and all those things. That's why the agricultural revolution changed a lot of things. Then after that, the human race keep on producing more and more until not enough job. Then we have the second revolution after agriculture is industrial revolution. We develop industry. There's a lot of job. Then after industrial revolution, we now got what we call high-tech boom. High-tech boom. You know what is high-tech? High technology on type of development that impact our present civilization. And this high-tech boom lead to IT, lead to internet technology, information technology. Then information become like very very developed in the sense that the internet technology or the high-tech boom, they are able to design all those chips. And now the chips are getting smaller and smaller, bigger and bigger capacity. Until today, data is not an issue anymore. No matter how immense your data is, they only need very small space to store them. Your handphone can store so much now. Last time, to have the capacity of your handphone, they need to run what they call a king-size computer. I still remember when I was in MU University, our first computer science faculty, we have this what they call, what do they call that one? The zero and one binary number. All the computer card, you remember? A punch card system. I remember that machine was so big. Then every time we go and do all those research or whatever, we do all the punch card. We have zero and one only. We have to actually build up the data for all this punch card and fit into the computer. No? Then it like go in, they go in. But the worst is the technology was so backward, keep on having problem. Syntax error, the computer keep on rejecting, kick it out. So it was not easy. That's why later on, all this become obsolete. Then they came out with a lot of this new type of programming, which was so advanced, so complicated. Then unless you study IT, I also cannot keep track with it. I remember in the university time when I worked there, as a staff, you got a lot of advantage. You can go and study computer science, any of the foreign language. I go and study Thai, French, German, and even other type of language. And it only cost me 10 ringgit for every course. The only thing is you must find time to finish it. So I went to the computer science faculty to study this. But the way they advance is actually mind-boggling. So fast because of incentive, because of the way they have developed the academic hierarchy or setup. It's a higher, they call it the higher education setup, and the institution, the establishment of this research paper, the sharing and all those things. That's why nowadays technology can be developed very fast. Then they have to come out with a patent system. If you don't patent, everything you discover, it will be copied overnight. And people will be way ahead of you. So the innovation leading to improvation means you improve on the prototype. That one is very easy. You value add onto that discovery. Then you look at a lot of other things. Automobile, never heard of before last time. The person who discovered it also, I had to take off my hat and salute him. How did he know that this type of automobile come out you can drive on it, or you can develop the gearbox, everything, then connect to all the wheels and all those things. Then the rocket propulsion technology, the aircraft technology, airline industry, it is amazing, really. It's all from science, Bernoulli's principle. The high pressure, the low pressure, the takeoff, the airlift, and all those things. So they just play the wings, then the propeller. So later on, they go beyond propeller. The propeller is a very primitive technology. Then they use the now different type turbine technology. And turbine technology is very powerful. Then they got this, what they call supersonic technology, that can fly faster than the speed of sound. The speed of sound already considered quite fast. Do you know what is the speed of sound? You don't know what is the speed of sound? If I'm not wrong, it's 1,100. Is it feet per second? Speed of sound. I think something like that. I remember. I'm familiar with the British system. There is a 1,100. So, if you travel faster than the speed of sound, you know what happened or not? You break the sound barrier. When you break the sound barrier, what happened? What happened when you break the sound barrier? How many of you are not science student? You all are not science student. You all never learned this. You know, this supersonic, they call it supersonic because it break the sound barrier. They got sonic boom, no? When they break the sound barrier, there is this, what they call sonic boom, no? Very loud one, no? That's why at first there were a lot of objection to the supersonic flight technology. That's why finally they overcome it by flying very high. Very high. Anyway, you must be interested in science to understand. If you really have an interest in science, you will be really amazed at how science can actually bring forth so much of this amazing technology and understanding. It is a very beautiful field. Similarly, I think for the arts also, you have your own type of beauty within that field of study. But that beauty is not like technology. Technology, you really beyond your wildest dream, it can really completely make you like, you can never believe that such thing is possible. Even if you look back during the 60s, if I were to tell you at that time, you will have handphone that can do all the WhatsApp and all this video thing, conference call all over the world. Immediately data can come, you can Google things. Do you believe? You say you must be crazy. But now we take for granted all this. And I can tell you the next 30 years we are going to be even more advanced. But whether I can live to that age or not, I don't know. It's like Mahathir can at 93 still going strong. So maybe conservatively, hopefully 20 years, I think, okay. Get home, can or not? Oh, can, see? Confident. So 20 years of beautiful life on this planet Earth. You got nothing to lose. So you take the Bodhisattva vow, you know how to vow, you come back very fast. You won't miss this sasana for too long. You vow, aspire to take birth. As a human again, with all this Dhamma understanding, we already gone through Sankara Upapati Sutta, how to make affirmation for reappearance in certain rhyme. The Buddha taught you. So develop all those qualities and make the affirmation. Then find out for yourself whether you really come back or not. Or you go somewhere else. You know why? Sometimes your karma control you. Your karma is more powerful than your affirmation because your parami is not strong enough. Your affirmation is not sincere, not strong enough. So karma take over. Then you got no choice. Then karma decide when to come and how to come. Come as what also is a question mark there. You may not end up as a human being. But for you all with the sasana and your parami, I think not difficult. To be born as a human is not difficult. Then those who keep their precepts develop the understanding of the Dhamma. You can have very good birth. You may even be born as devas. Then those who do energy field, they can end up become Brahmas. But my advice is, unless you really want it, be contented with human and devas. These two rhymes serve you well. The human rhyme, you can learn more things. You can develop your cultivation further. In the deva rhyme, you don't have so wide an opportunity to do all this cultivation and development of understanding. So when you understand, you will know how to make the appropriate aspiration. Okay, so we finish this particular sharing. Is there a fourth page? Oh, a little bit at the back. Okay, I will read it. Then we finish. The scripture said, Maitreya will attain Bodhi in 7 days. There is a paragraph on Maitreya Buddha. After the 7 Buddhas of antiquity, the third last paragraph, the fourth last paragraph. The coming of Maitreya Buddha will be characterized by a number of physical events. The oceans are predicted to be smaller in size, allowing Maitreya to traverse them freely. Maitreya will then reintroduce the true Dhamma to the world. His arrival will signify the end of the middle time, the time between the fourth Buddha, Gautama Buddha, and the fifth Buddha, Maitreya, which is viewed as a low point of human existence. According to the Chakravarti Sutta, the wheel-turning emperor, Digha-Nikaya 26 of the Sutta Pitaka of the Pali Canon, Maitreya Buddha will be born in a time when humans will live to an average age of 80,000 years. Just imagine, you can live 80,000 years. In the city of Kitumati, present Varanasi, whose king will be Chakravarti Sankha. Sankha will live in the palace where once dwelt King Mahapanada. But later he will give the palace away and he himself will become a follower of Maitreya Buddha. The scripture said that Maitreya will attain enlightenment or Bodhi in 7 days, which is the minimum period by virtue of his many lives of cultivation for Buddhahood, similar to those reported in the Jataka story. At this time, a notable teaching he will start giving is that of the 10 non-virtuous deeds: killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, lying, divisive speech, abusive speech, ideal or frivolous speech, then covetousness or desire or lust, then harmful intent and wrong view. So these are the typical teaching. Even Sakyamuni Buddha also teach the same. Then he will also teach the 10 virtuous deeds, means the abandonment of all the 10 evil deeds. Then the Arya Maitreya Mandala, founded by Anaga Rika Govinda, is based on the idea of the future coming of Maitreya. Then Pali sources say that being in Maitreya's time will be much bigger, means the human being, much bigger, than during the time of Sakyamuni Buddha. So in one of the prophecy, his disciple are contemptuous of Mahakasapa. So they take Mahakasapa as the example. He said, whose head is no larger than an insect to them at that time. He's just like a mosquito, Mahakasapa, the head of Mahakasapa. Then the Buddha's robe, belly cover, two finger, making them wonder how tiny our Buddha was. Then Mahakasapa is said to be small enough in comparison to cremate in the palm of Maitreya Buddha. Means his hand, he opened our Mahakasapa can lie there and be cremated. See how big he is. They must be big size. That's why they can live for how many years? 80 or 90,000. 80,000 years. Anyway, this is the Jataka story. Don't quote me. So Jataka story are already labeled as story. So what we are interested in is the teaching. The teaching is the relevant one, the important one. Not so much of the story. But some may be like curious. So you want to develop an understanding, this is from the scripture. Whether true or not, I cannot tell you because I don't have this type of knowledge. But because it's recorded in the scripture, I read it out and I share with you. Then hopefully somebody who has that special nature in future can come and tell the world whether this is the truth or not. Like our last Tuesday class, we also discussed this. Then I think Chui and some Kayamita, they also have some questions and some doubt. I also find it strange because it looks like all the Buddhas, they appear in the same place in India there. All those places that Sakyamuni became enlightened. Then they are from that particular race and particular caste. There's another part where this 28 Buddha, there's a table. He even tell you what caste they are born into. They're the top two castes. The Brahmin and the Kshatriyas or what? I forgot already. The noble class. So they say different era, different caste they will take. But I don't know. But to me, is the probability may not be that way. But it was recorded that way, so we take it as the story. Like I said, story. So story, every time repeated, becomes slightly different. Repeated too many times, become completely distorted. That is what story is all about. But when it's the truth, it's evergreen. It's always the same. That's why when it comes to the teaching, it's evergreen. So this teaching, you can put it to test. It will stand up to investigation. There will be no doubt. Because it can be understood and realized by the wise, each for themselves. That one I can tell you is the truth. I can vouch for it. Because this nature went through. Okay. Any other question? Or anybody want to share anything or report meditation? Just put up your hand. We'll pass you the mic. I have a drink first. Is there anything that you want to discuss or want me to share? pass the mic to Jin Hao. Yeah, we still got half an hour. Don't worry.
Good evening, Brother Tiu and I just want to share with what I've go through for the past few weeks, is it?
Okay, very good.
I, as a lot of people know that I'm doing the fasting for the past 3 weeks. So something that which I'm out of my expectation was that I've realized my thought is lesser, much lesser.
Okay.
And more mindful. And the emotion is more stable.
Mm.
And that lead me to wonder, like, our mind and our body is so deeply connected. Is that, you know, in the past, I mean, before that, is it, where, you know, I feel that, you know, the mind is difficult to settle down, is it?
Okay.
But somehow, now it's much easier. So perhaps maybe Brother Tiu can explain more or share more about this.
Okay. Thank you so much for your question. You see, when it comes to this body and mind thing, if you are a cultivator, you are a meditator, then you will understand. Because our consciousness, like I always explain, is trapped in this human form. Then, of course, whatever happened to this physical body, it will affect you, understand? Like if you were to have a cut, a wound, or an injury, the tactile consciousness, they will arise, and you will be affected by it, you will be influenced by it. Then sometimes you go and drink liquor, understand? Or alcohol, or intoxicant, then it will affect your consciousness. It will make you giddy, then you will lose awareness. You will lapse into more moment of heedlessness. Then, when you have certain sickness like fever or food poisoning or even whatever discomfort that come with that sickness, it will also affect you. These are normal happening within the physical form. And our physical body is already inbuilt with all this, what they call, over the years and years of evolution, long period of evolution, it has built up its own defense system. That's why it has its antibody to fight all these things. Then it also has its way of like releasing certain type of hormones to help you deal with certain situations. Like fear, how did fear arise? How come fear can trigger all this very eerie type of fear inside you? It's actually a hormone release. And fear will condition you. That's why when you don't have the spiritual faculty, the five mental hindrances will condition you. But in your case, it's more like you are in an environment where you go through this food detox, understand? So going through the food detox is not much different from going into an 8-precept retreat, understand? When you take very simple food and you have more time to silence your mind, to reflect, to contemplate, then you realize your activity is very different from your usual daily activity, because you just know that you have to go for detox, and you don't have to be involved in other type of activity. That's why you will have less of this mental disturbance and all those things. And because you don't even have enough food, you have less energy to think. That's why you will be like more weak, more lethargic. It's like you're very tired. You will sleep very well, when I tell you. But you are not tired. Then you got restlessness and all that, you got things troubling you. You cannot sleep. The body will condition the mind. The bodily condition will condition the mind state. if you are not a cultivator. The question is, if you are not a cultivator. But cultivator also got two types. The one that don't have the understanding, that type of cultivator also cannot deal. The one that has developed the understanding, they are different. They know the form is the form. Alicia showed world apart. Different. You see, the physical form is made of element. It has its what they call a nervous system, or what they call parasympathetic nerve inside there. Where these are the DNA, the coding, and the DNA that forms the human species. Then this parasympathetic nerve, there is a type of vibration inside there. And this vibration is a lot to do with your karma. Understand? Just like the Buddha said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So all this thing is already there. So how can you improve this body? Given what the condition within our existence has to offer. Because we got to go through the phases of life, each and every one. Then depending on karma, we are brought into this world with different DNA, with different karmic inheritance. That's why everyone is different. But the main thing is, without the cultivation, the wisdom developed from the understanding of this teaching, you cannot cope with life. The mental hindrance will be very powerful. You cannot do much. That's why now they teach you how to de-stress. De-stress through what? They have a lot of skillful means to, in Japan, developed country, I was told, they got this audio thing for you to listen, to auto-suggest to you and make you very calm, very peaceful. Yeah, you listen to very soothing music. Then they auto-suggest to you, you are now in a very peaceful environment with nice music, or they call heavenly rhyme music, and all those things. Then after a while, with all the vibration, is now you are at what level of vibration? You are at alpha, beta, theta. This is transcendental meditation to make you calm through auto-suggestion. But all this is not going to help you much, because it's going to be temporary. We are like good food, after a long time, it's no more effect on you. Well, this is auto-suggestion. This got nothing to do with wisdom and understanding. But if you have wisdom and understanding, you will know how to meditate. You will know how to train your mind, silence your mind. Then your mind become a body conditional. You know why it's a body conditional? It conditions the body to be peaceful. Then you realize, when the mind is peaceful, the body can be peaceful. Because when you know how to meditate and regulate your breathing can become so calm, so tranquil, so still. You can realize all the calm state, starting from piti to pasati. Sometimes you experience sukha too, the blissfulness, the calmness and all that. Then this will bring your heartbeat down, bring your blood pressure, everything down. That's how you feel very calm, very peaceful, despite all the things that you experience. You don't have to go for detox. You don't have to go for retreat, even at home. At any time you want to rest, you just rest. Then if you are throughout the day already mindful, aware, your mind state is always peaceful, aware, calm. All this will not affect you. Even when I'm sick, it's not affecting me. Not to say it's not affecting me physically. Physically, it will have an effect. But my mind state are so different, I can endure, I can understand. There is no reaction, no stirring, no fear, nothing. And this understanding allow me to act, and I know what to do. I need to seek help. I will seek help. I need to consult doctor or have second opinion or whatever. I will know how to do, but I'm not in a hurry. Then I believe in my karma, my nature. Things will work out. Then the sign will come. I will know before it happens. So all this is through the understanding of the mind, you can bring about the difference in the way you live your life. The quality of life comes from your understanding of this form of mind, how they function as a human being through the Buddha's teaching. That this is the five aggregate form of mind, nama rupa. They are not real, they are not you. They have the characteristics of impermanent, suffering state leading to empty nature, non-self, all these things. So when you understand all this, then you are reflected on the five daily contemplation and the essential Dhamma, then you will not be deceived by it, deluded by it. You will not attach, you will not cling. Then the phenomenal world will have no power over you. Then you are always at peace. Then whatever will be, will be. That's why you will know how to die. You will know how to live. You don't have to fear. You don't have to worry. This is what the Dhamma is capable of. That's why it's very different. So, to me, it's not so much of what you went through. Of course, what you went through can bring about a condition for this thing that you described to happen. You are more calm. You got less thought. I already explained. You take in less thing, especially you don't eat all those carbohydrates and all those things, the meat. Then you are mainly vegan or vegetarian. You got less of this nutrient. Then less energy to even think. So that's why you will feel you are more calm, more peaceful. Then you are not involved in all those activities that can stress you out and make you restless, heedless. So you will go through and experience all this. But people will think that, oh, this thing can make me like that. So if you don't believe me, you every time go and do all this detox, if you don't develop the understanding of what I explained to you, after a while, maybe 2 or 3 rounds, you will give up because it's not going to give you the effect anymore. Understand? Huh? It's just like, if you know that your life is completely governed by law of karma, but you don't take care of karma, you go and do all those funny things. Then when you do all those funny things, maybe it makes you more calm, more peaceful, more happy. But it is not solving your problem. Your problem is you didn't take care of karma. Didn't take care of karma means you didn't train your mind. You didn't develop the goodness. You didn't avoid all the evil. So no matter what you do, fasting or what, you will end up having the same problem. You go back to life. You go back to society. Where that problem still come. Understand? So, end of the day is the understanding. The understanding can transform you, can revolutionize your life. It's just like the scientists. After they have understood the 2 physical law and biological law, the scientific law, they progress so fast. It all comes from understanding. So likewise, when you understand the spiritual law, you also will progress. Actually, it's no different from the scientists. That's why when you have this understanding, your spiritual understanding, you will progress like the scientists, leap and bound. The last 5,000 years, people are doing all those thought-based meditation is nothing when you understand awareness. It's exactly the same. Within a very short period of that training, the understanding based on sati, awareness, you can actually overtake them all. They can be repeating all this for the last 5,000 over years, but it's all thought-based meditation. It's not going to change them, help them. So when you have the understanding, it will help you. That's why the Dhamma is very useful, very important. Okay? We should rejoice. A very good question. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. That's why it's not your question. It's whatever you want to understand, you just ask. It will bring about condition for this nature to explain things. Where you don't ask, there is no condition for things to arise. Okay? Anybody else? pass the mic to Mimi. Sadhu.
Today's gratitude, your sharing is on the different type of Buddhas that arise. I I want to share something that I actually experienced it when I was, I think it's 2013, when we go to the Achalo's brother's bungalow. I have this experience is, remember Brother Teo, we stay in a hotel first before we go to Achalo's.
Yeah.
And this
that,
is...
That night was raining. Yeah. Raining, very heavy. Your husband, Chua, was also there.
Yeah. So I never share this experience, and because since you are talking about the Yizhou, the universe, I remember that night when I slept, the very before the waking moment, I have a very interesting teaching. I don't know from where. They tell me something that this entire cosmic, all of us are connected. And they show me that we are just like a fisherman net. And every knot is a pearl. If you were to vibrate one pearl, the ripple effect is on all. That means it shows the interconnectivity of all sentient beings, not only in this Mother Earth, but in the whole entire cosmic. And when that thing came to me, the last thing that comes to my mind is Avamtamsakasutta. Then, after that, I never bothered much about it. Then suddenly, when I go to Tengpian, because I never realized what sutta is this, so I go and ask the Tengpian girl at the library. I say, what is this Avamtamsakasutta? Then he say, oh, in Mandarin is Huayanjing. Then I beginning to have some interest in this Huayanjing. Then before I dwelt further into this Huayanjing, then I have a meditative experience that I didn't write down the date, but I draw up the diagram. I realize that if we can cultivate to a level that you can return to your pure awareness and enter into the source, you actually, your this awareness actually can warp in the entire cosmic universe. That's why all Buddhas, they have the all-knowing knowledge of the entire universe. Of course, we have to reach that level to have that understanding. So I stop from there actually, but I draw up. And whoever that be in that state, in whatever mundane situation that you are staying, you can be in two parts. You can be within the mundane, and yet when you finish your mundane, you can return to your the silent mind or the super mundane, and you can be zizai. So I have that understanding until there. So when I attend this Huayanjing 4 days retreat in Babs, it was conducted in Mandarin. I don't know, somehow or rather my friend registered me, I ended up there. And I was telling myself, ah, yo, all Mandarin, how am I going to understand? Anyway, I just went with a very open mind. And then the first lesson when they teach, they pointed out something that really impact me a lot, in the sense that he say the interconnectivity of all sentient beings, including human being, insect or whatever life form, we are all interconnected. And especially as human being, Why are you so 自在 about your mundane mind and getting caught yourself in this mundane and forget about the cultivations of returning to have that nature, the true nature of Buddha nature or whatever? So I say, yeah, why are we also, if we don't understand the Dharma or we don't have the chance to get in touch with the Buddha Dharma, then you say, then we are not aware of it. We hear Brother Teo day and night telling you, please connect to your true nature and you will know how to walk this path. So that really impacted me, you know. Then the second day of the lesson, with my little understanding of Mandarin, and he shared one more thing that is very interesting, that last time I don't know what is Vairochana. When she showed us the whole Hua Yan Yu Zhou, they speak in Mandarin, that means the whole cosmic. Actually, Vairochana is actually the essence of all Buddhas. And then he say, all of us walk the path from the Putujana to walk the Bodhisattva path and wanting to attain the Supreme Buddhahood. That is not the end. When you gain your enlightenment as a Sammasambuddha, you have to come back and again, you know, touch the life of all sentient beings. And while you're walking this path in the sutta, he said, don't worry, as long as you have the faith, the virya, and you sincerely do it, the Buddhas, the Bodhisattvas will always be there to guide you, show you the way. That's why what the Buddha have taught us is the truth, actually. With your virya, your faith, your virya, and you just do it. No matter how, with this embedded in you, you will realize, of course, you have to awaken to the form. You must not be deluded by this form, and you have to transcend form. Then the next thing, you have to know your mundane mind, how it works. You have to awaken to your mundane mind, and you have to transcend your mundane mind. Then be at the present moment. That is called heedfulness and appamatta. With that, you will be very close. You are in your awareness, pure awareness. If you want to return, you even have to transcend the present moment. So, that's the only way for you to return and realize, they call it the Buddha Dharma or the Buddha mind or whatever, or the true mind, whatever name you want to call it. But when you're on the path, you will know. That's why, you know, coming back to your answer, Jinhao, the mind is still the mundane mind. So be with it. And Brother Teo have shown us so many ways to awaken to this mundane mind. Once you understand how your mundane mind works, you will know how to transcend that mundane mind. Then you are very close to the pure awareness. So that's why the Hua Yan Jing is really show me that missing part of this Vairochana. I've been always figuring out. I still can remember when I was in Sampo, I say, who are you? So now I know. So that's why in that Hua Yan Jing, it show me very clearly that we want to walk this path, they're always with us. That's why when we pay respect to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, it's the 10 direction Buddha you are paying respect. And of course, in this sasana is Shakyamuni Buddha. So you must make affinity with all of them. That's why Pusien is very smart. In the in the 10 vow, he said, pay respect to all the 10, all the Buddhas. Because, as what Brother Teo have explained just now, he has met so many Samasam Buddha. So, whenever we pay respect to all the 10 direction Buddhas. So, you were definitely meeting all of them and having affinity with all of them. And all the Dharmas teach by all the Buddhas. Because this universe, this cosmic is so vast and infinity. That's why today Brother Teo brought this one up. It's really, with this, I hope my little humble sharing can, you know, get you have interest to look into this Huayanjing, or maybe Brother Teo can teach us. I try to get English version, it's very tough. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for the sharing. Yeah. You all can rejoice. Huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You see, just to sum up, we got about 2 minutes. Don't worry about this Huayanjing and all those things. This is another very, what they call, unique sutta of Mahayana. If you want to understand, you wait till the book come out, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way. I have explained a lot of those things there. Yeah. So that is about the cultivation. Then regarding the Virochana Buddha, the understanding that most people don't understand is they believe that this Buddha is like some being. No, it's not a being. This is supposed to be, Virochana is supposed to be the first primordial, original Sammasambuddha, the first to perfect it and become a Sammasambuddha in this whole existent universe. So, Huayanjing is a teaching that links back to this nature of Virochana, and they believe all of the subsequent Sammasambuddha that come, they have affinity with this Virochana. That's why they have great respect for Virochana. Then their cosmogram for their Huayanjing, the Huayan Sunsells, they start from Virochana, then come all the way down. So you don't have to worry about all this, because as you cultivate, as you develop the understanding, all these are just guidelines, because all these great beings, their nature, they are not a being. The Buddha cannot come and help you. But their nature, with their vow, they are very powerful. If you know how to tie up with their vow, develop the affinity to link up, then it can manifest. Then what they try to tell you, everyone related, is just a understanding. Well, the actual understanding is very deep, very profound. Some they use different words, interdependence, interconnectivity, and all those things. Each and everyone is linked, but these are only words, like the Dhamma. If you don't awaken to it, you cannot understand. It's not just the signal come already, 10:30. I take a few more minutes. You see, these interdependent things, there are a lot of things, because it involves the entire existence, nature's law that governs life and existence. That's why Adittana, which is the perfection or affirmation of truth, Adittana is also the affirmation of vows, aspiration, resolution. So when you have a very strong, sincere resolve, there is something very noble that you want to develop. Then you develop the Adittan. Adittan is not a craving, not a desire. It's not a ambition or a goal where you want to realize. It is something that is very, very pure, very noble. Then you make that affirmation through power of merits, power of perfection or cultivation and understanding, for causes and conditions for it to arise. Then all this depend on the individual's nature. This form and mind is not you. But you have to come with a form and mind. then when there is a form in mind, only you can connect to that nature, and that nature is not a being. You cannot come out, you cannot realize anything. But it is an instrument from which, after the form in mind connect, it can develop the cultivation, the understanding, and the perfection, and all those things. Then it will form your nature. Then this nature, when it become very powerful, it is just a nature, understand? It can be a Sammasambuddha's nature, a great Bodhisattva's nature, or an ordinary human being, or a normal living being. They are all the different nature. But when you have perfected some form of nature, then when you come to another form of mind, whether to rebirth you have to come, or you choose to come, then this nature is different. It can cause things to arise. It's not what you think. Not like what they describe, like in the net, you say every what you call it, what they pin together on the jewel or what, pearl. You say one vibrate, all vibrate. No, you don't have that nature. You don't even have the ability to cause any vibration. You are just one of the insignificant. Yeah. With you or without you, no different. But when you have that nature, then it can cause things. That's why it can help you in the sense that their vow, their nature has this ability. And they don't have to be there. Otherwise, with the countless beings asking for Kuan Yin's help, you think Kuan Yin got time or not? It's not her. It's her nature, her vow, that manifests through nature's law. That's why this can be very unique and very powerful understanding. So all this is not the word, not the description. It's the understanding of it and the awakening of it towards the end that is more important. Otherwise, they are just words, all interconnected. So what? Like the Buddha said, you are all born of your karma, head to your karma conditions. You are what you are because you have been rattling this for how long? But do you understand? Does it take you in to the teaching? Does it awaken you to understand all this? To develop the determination, the faith, the spiritual faculties, to transform the form of mind, then you have the ability to connect and link. It's not you. The form of mind is not you. But without this form of mind connected, it cannot develop the understanding, the cultivation. That's why this cultivation is not easy. With every line you come, from the moment you connect, you inherit, you are already very old. You got not much time to cultivate. Unless you have the understanding, you come, you connect early. You develop this understanding early. Then when it connect early, the form of mind you know is not you. But this is a vehicle and tool for you to come to develop the ability to connect. Then from there, the cultivation is to perfect the spiritual nature and the karmic nature. That's it. And it's not a being. It's not you realizing something. You going back to the source. No such thing. The nature sees. Then that thing is an understanding that will come about through that cultivation. That's why if you don't go through those cultivation, all these are just words, no meaning. They can quote the sutta, quote everything. But when you've gone through this awakening, this understanding, this transformation, then when your nature comes, when you inherit, your understanding is very different. So that is the part that, because there is condition, you should thank me for the good sharing. Yeah? Then there is condition for me to share all this. And I don't know why all this higher teaching is coming out so fast. It's not supposed to come so fast. So because of condition, things arise. Then what Jin Hao asked just now is not easy to understand, I tell you. The one I explained just now, the form of mind. This form of mind, Nama Rupang, there's a lot of things inside there that you need to develop understanding. You don't just like knowledge, five aggregate or form of mind, Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnana, or form, feeling, perception, activity of mind and consciousness. Then you think you know. No, there's a lot more inside there. You must really silence your mind, meditate, and in the midst of life, daily life, understand clearly what this form of mind is. Why is it not you? then why, if it's not you, it arises in you? And how to make use of this to develop the understanding, the connection? And there is no mark of a being inside there cultivating. It's just a nature. And that nature also doesn't belong to you. It's only unique to that continuous, limitless existence, that segmented birth and death, birth, the summation of all this become that nature. So you have to transcend the self concept, otherwise you cannot understand. There is no mark of a self cultivating, no mark of living being, no mark of the phenomenal, the Dhamma and all those things. You have to penetrate and awaken. So there is a lot of work to be done. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So with this, we end. So we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Then we end, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakkantu lokasasana Tawata camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo ibina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Pay respect mindfully to Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, Sakyamuni Buddha, and all the other worthy ones.
Thank you.